You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? It is Friday, April 26th, 2024, and it is indeed a heck of a morning. We're live on the MMA Fighting YouTube channel. You can hear the show in its entirety, well, obviously here, and on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. What's going on, everybody? I am Mike Heck. Hope you're all just having a wonderful Friday. There was no UFC this past weekend. There is a UFC tomorrow, UFC Vegas 91. I think the weigh-ins are kicking off either now or at noon Eastern. I'm not really sure. We got Knuckle Mania tomorrow too. Mike Perry versus Thiago Alves. I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am for that. Those BKFC cards, especially when they do it big, are just incredibly fun to watch. So I'm looking forward to that. And yeah, I mean, there's things we could talk about, and that's why we're here. So let's just get after it. Throw your questions in the comments. We'll bring them up. We'll discuss. We'll make it happen. Of course, the super chatters get to cut the proverbial line. We get to jump through the velvet rope, so to speak. But we'll get to as many as we can. And we'll get after it. Lazy bed with the correct attitude. A heck of a morning and a hell of an afternoon. You're damn right. You're damn right. Thank you, Bree. Thank you, Garrett. Oh, God. Who's a bigger clown, Don Davis or Tony Khan? Damn, dude. I mean, that's a question, is it not? I don't know. I don't think either, like, deep down are clowns. I understand, like, the premise of the question. I'm not really, like, offended by what PFL is trying to do. What AEW does is just awful. And as someone who has watched pro wrestling forever, and I know I'm not, like, as into it now as I once was, but, man, the one thing, and I was talking to somebody about this because we were having a wrestling discussion, like, a couple days ago, and someone had brought this up about Tony Khan, and I'm like, AEW has just been so bad. The one thing they just cannot do is put Tony Khan on television. He cannot be a storyline character in any way. And then like 2 days later, he's on friggin' Dynamite and he's going to be part of a storyline. I will credit him for rocking the neck brace at the NFL draft yesterday, but man, AEW is bad. Oh, is it bad? It's tough. Don Davis, to me, is the funniest man in all of combat sports. When he speaks, I have to listen. Even though he's wrong about almost everything he says, it's just hilarious to kind of see how wrong he is. And at the end of the day, I think we all root. We root for Don Davis. We root for the PFL. We want them to do well. We almost, like, we need them as MMA fans to do the right things and be good and be compelling and draw an audience and make money. We need somebody to nip at the heels of the UFC And the biggest fear I've had when it comes to PFL, and I continue to have with PFL, is they feel like they're already there. They feel like they've done everything they need to do, that they're in the right spot. And I think they're so far away from where they need to be, or at least the way they perceive themselves, that perhaps maybe they're getting a little too comfortable. And God, man. But Don is hilarious. Funniest man in all of combat sports. Joseph, will there be a watch party live from Vegas for UFC 303? I don't know. We shall see. I wouldn't be opposed to it. I would like to spend more than a day in Las Vegas if we're going to do that and make like a thing out of it. See, one of my goals has always been, especially doing all these shows, is that, and I know it's a different world post-COVID and everything going on, I would love to like do BTL like live at a spot, and not even like just charge people money to come in. Like, I saw Morning Combat do some live shows at Brew House or Beer House or something like that, like right outside of T-Mobile. Like, I would love to do something like that and just do the show there with live mics and fans reacting to shit. Like, that's what I would love to do. Even do this show from there. Just have people walk up and ask questions. I know that's a dangerous, dangerous game to play, but I think that'd be fun as hell. So maybe we could do something cool like that. But yeah, look, if we could work it out, then I would certainly be down. But hopefully it's for more than a day. If that makes sense. Left lane talk fight announcements. Buckley versus Rudzabayev, Van versus Tyra, Jacoby versus Reyes, Imavov versus Cannonier. We talked a lot about Buckley versus Rudzabayev on BTL. I sort of tweeted my thoughts, and I'm still incredibly confused by that matchup. And this is one of the things I said on BTL yesterday was, if you gave me 500 guesses on who Joaquin Buckley's opponent would be, Nursultan Rudzabayev would not have been one of them. It's so out of left field. And that fight is so close from happening. Like, we're 2 weeks away from that fight. 15 days from that event. And Rudzabayev's going to cut to 170. Like, I don't even know if that fight's actually going to happen, which is crazy to think about. On the other end, if Rudzabayev does make 170 and he does it healthy, boy, is this a tough matchup. This is a tough draw for Joaquin Buckley. Dude just got the biggest win of his career. Goes out and finishes Vicente Luque. And I feel like almost every move he has made since that win has been the wrong one, if that makes sense. Like, I know a lot of people gave him credit for getting up on the mic at UFC 300 at that press conference. I thought the timing of that was awful. I really did. And some people gave me some shit for that, and I'm happy to accept it, I guess I will say, but I stand by what I said. I think that hurt him. I think that hurt him. I think the matchmaking is not a punishment, but it's more of like, all right, man, be careful what you wish for. Now, if Joaquin Buckley goes out there and beats Nursultan Rudzabayev, gets a big finish, then gets on the mic and does the thing and calls out a name, says, MVP, I'm coming to Manchester. You best meet me in the octagon. Then I will take back everything that I say. But until that point, I think he's done D-plus work, honestly. And I like Joaquin Buckley. I like him a lot. But I just feel like there's been misstep after misstep after misstep. And this is just a tough-ass fight for him. Very high risk, super low reward. But let's see what he does. Van versus Tyra is awesome. Love that fight. Big opportunity for Josh Van. Tetsuro Tyra has been putting in the work for a while. I think this guy's going to fight for a belt. He's incredibly talented. He was supposed to fight Tim Elliott. Tim Elliott, I was told, undisclosed injury. So that fight's no longer happening. And Josh Van needed a new opponent. So now we get Tetsuro Tyra stepping in at 302. It's a hell of a fight. I love that fight. Jacoby Reyes, that's in Louisville. Good fight. Still, I mean, I'm still at the point with Dominic Reyes where it's like, I'm worried, but I actually think this is the fight I've been talking about. I should get an Otno point for this because this is a fight that I've suggested for a while. I think it makes a lot of sense. So we'll see how it plays out. I think we're at the point with Dominic Reyes, and this is no disrespect for Dustin Jacoby because he's a good fighter, but if Dominic Reyes can't beat Dustin Jacoby, like, what are we doing here? You know? And then Imavov Cannoneer, I don't even, it's tough to even react to this because it's not official, if that makes sense. From what I was told, that report was a tad bit premature. It seems like that's the direction they're going, but not a done deal. Not a done deal. Hector just bringing in the positive vibe. Shout out to Hector. Thoughts on Michael Penix at number 8. Worst draft pick. Worst draft pick in the last 10 years. Literally makes no sense. Cannot believe it. The second Mark Raimondi starts covering the Atlanta Falcons beat. The Falcons, the worst draft pick of all time. Jay, and is this the worst Apex card ever? Which was worse? It has to be top 5. This is definitely not the worst. This is definitely not the worst. The Holly Holm, Myra Buena Silva card is really, really terrible. We've had worse cards this year at the Apex than this one. I know the main event isn't all that tremendous, but if this... And I know Alex Perez kind of takes a lot of shit for not getting into the octagon, but he had a damn fun fight with Muhammad Bakhayev. Like, he stood in there and, like, battled, made it to the cage. If this was Mateus Nicolau Manel Kopp, would you feel the same way? Ryan Spann, Bogdan Guskov, I mean, it's... gotta be wild. That fight's gonna be fun as hell. Karina Silva, Ariane Lipsky is a great fight. Janata Denise versus Austin Lane. Someone's getting finished real quick. Jonathan Pierce, David Onama, good fight. Tim Means, Juris Medic, good fight. Hanayaya, Victor Henry, good fight. And then we start to sort of veer into the cyclone of it's gonna be tough, but there have been worse Apex cards. I can't name them off the top of my head, but we've had worse cards this year. I think the first, like, 3 Apex cards this year were really, really bad. Even on paper compared to this one. So, there we are. Chris, how is everyone so convinced that Ryan was trolling? He admitted to drinking every night and is still talking schizo about Bohemian Grove despite all his claims to have been trolling. He is... Ryan Garcia, I just don't understand. Taking a journey through that man's mind is, it would be quite the trip. It would be quite the trip. But I guess we have to see what happens when his next fight is booked. How is he going to try to top that? Can he perform as well as he did against Devin Haney? With that, I'm not really sure. Thoughts on Drake May? Like the pick. They got to build around him. They got to build around him. Damn, Reyes can't catch a break. He is matched up with Jacoby Brandon. That fight is going down. That fight is going down. Outside of Mike Perry, who produces the most viral moment of the night at Knuckle Mania. I got to say it's probably Lorenzo Hunt. Win or lose, he just seems to be that guy. Just seems to be that guy. Let me see. I'm not even going to try to... I'm just going to say the epic. Mike, is there a reason why the UFC, outside of a few moments like the recent Max Holloway KO or Conor Ronda... I didn't get the rest of it. UFC never goes the WWE route with having their fighters getting along with celebs, collabing on mega levels, being prominent in pop culture. It seems like we lack things. Dude, we lack a lot of things. We lack a lot of things. But I feel like some of that will be better. I feel like some of that will be better. Let's see. Bree, I do realize this is entirely off topic, but do you work for both UFC and BKMMA? I also do realize it's completely all about strictly MMA. I was honestly just curious. I mean, I don't work for either of them. I work for MMA Fighting. But we cover both. We're going to be covering both these cards. And I can assure you, Knuckle Mania is going to do... It's going to have 10, 15, maybe even 20 times more interest than the Apex card. It's just how it always works. It's just how it always works. And look, UFC's charging The UFC is going to be charging you $80 for UFC 301. Not a good pay-per-view card. One of the worst we've seen in a while. Like, I do actually think it's going to be a somewhat enjoyable watch. Pantoja versus Ursaeg is a really good fight. It's just not a main event. It's just not going to make people want to drop $80. Knuckle Mania is $30. It's $29.99. And if you already have the BKFC app, it's free. I think it's free, or it's only like $5 or something. Like, this, the value in this is unbelievable. And if you've never watched a BKFC card, especially when they do it big, it is fun as hell. It's very fun. This is going to be a lot of fun. But I work for this company, but I don't work for the UFC or BKFC. And may our interview with Buckley's not a good look. We got a super chat. Fahim, what do you know about Colby and Ian Garry? About as much as I've seen on social media. I mean, everything that Ian's kind of talked about, like, I had already heard that Colby's still a little bit dinged up, so that date might not work. That's just kind of what I've heard and would have been told from a couple of people who probably know the answer to that. But Ian's just trying to drum up some interest. He wants to get on this Conor card. I understand what he's trying to do. I just don't know if this, I don't know if this date's going to work. He might want to pivot, but I don't know. I honestly do not know. Mark, I have not seen that video. The prelims are pretty bad. I agree, Garrett. Mark likes Gary versus MVP in Manchester. I don't hate that. It's a big, honestly, and MVP is like over and stuff, but I think it's definitely a step back for Ian. The better fight for him business-wise is definitely the Colby fight, but the build to that is going to be awful. And I think, and I've talked about this before, I know a lot of people don't like Ian Garry. I feel like some of that hatred is a little off, if we're being honest, but he's always been super cool to me, so I have no problem with Ian at all. He's a tremendous fighter. The dude's probably going to win a title at some point. He is incredibly skilled, and he's only going to get better. The reputation that he's kind of getting at certain gyms, I know the Leon Edwards stuff kind of rubbed people the wrong way, but seems like he's found a home in Brazil and training with Charles Oliveira and those guys. But I think he kind of needs, I guess, an image refresh. And there is a part of me, I think I'd rather see the Colby fight just for how he progresses and how close that would get him to a title fight. But the MVP fight would be way more refreshing. The build, MVP is not a big shit talker. Even if Ian starts firing shots, like, MVP is not going to sit there and talk about his wife or anything like that. So I think it would be a little bit, it'd be refreshing, but we'll see what happens. Where does Nicolau go if he wins on Saturday? Outside of being raw dogged, he's been on a good run. I don't know. I don't think much, man. Maybe he gets, I mean, he might even get like the Tyra Van winner. I mean, he's just in a really tough spot right now. Maybe he gets the loser of the title fight, or if Steve Ursaeg loses. Maybe he gets Steve Ursaeg. I don't really know, man. Thoughts on the Lakers versus Nuggets series, on how disgruntled, mentally checked out they look. What do you think the Lakers need to do in the offseason to still be in contender? Reminds me of Volk versus Max. The Lakers are just, sometimes you can get great players on one team and it just doesn't work. And it's not working. It has not worked. It has not worked. They're going to make the playoffs every year, but it just has not worked. LeBron is still very good at basketball. He would beat the shit out of me on the court and most other people around the world, but dude's getting up there. He's knocking on the door of 40. He can't do this shit all by himself. I think they got to blow it up, man. But go Celtics. Go Celtics. Thank you, Lazy Bed. BKFC recently purchased. Do you expect big changes? No, I expect no changes. Why would they? They're doing good. They are doing well. I know that the Triller thing is strange, but I just want to add to that. It reminds me of Max Volstead's, no matter how skilled the Lakers were, they can't seem to overpower and throw the juggernaut. Hayek, Denver's really good too. Mike, hearing anything about Leon's matchup in Manchester? What are the odds it's not Bilal? My God. We were talking about this on BTL yesterday too. Can you imagine if Dana White dropped a video in like 10 minutes? Guys, we're going to Manchester. We got a couple of badass fights. Tom Aspinall versus Curtis Blaydes. This is how the first fight went. Yada, yada, yada. And then Leon Edwards, England's own, defends the welterweight title against the undefeated Shavkat Rakhmonov. Can you imagine the friggin' reaction if that happened? That would be insane. It would be absolutely insane. God. And I would feel so bad for Bilal, man. Like, I know it's kind of almost like an unspoken joke at this point that like every time something happens and Bilal's not a part of it, he just becomes part of the conversation as sort of the butt of the joke. And it's been a fun kind of gimmick to see. Like, even just Steve Irsay getting a title shot before Bilal Muhammad gets one, or before like Merab gets one. Like, that's crazy. That is friggin' nuts. And I'm not saying like Steve doesn't deserve it because of what's available and what they needed to do for this card. Steve was the perfect guy. He's on the good streak. He's finishing people. He's delivering fun performances. And I honestly think stylistically, like, Vinny Siggs is a really good chance against Pantoja as long as he can keep this fight standing. But, man, if Shavkat gets it over Bilal, that would be tough. But I got to say, I think if we're looking at this from a Leon and Tom just fighting in Manchester is going to sell that place out. Like, it doesn't matter. And you probably throw Patty in there and a couple of other names, MVP, etc. That place is going to sell out. So from a ticket purchasing standpoint, none of that shit matters. But from a pay-per-view standpoint, I think there'd be more intrigue with Leon versus Shavkat. Bilal deserves it. I'm not trying to stand here and tell you that he shouldn't get it, because he should get it. But man, what an interesting time. What a world we would be living in if Shavkat gets that shot. I think it's going to be Bilal, though. I'll be stunned. There is an issue, though. Like, I just don't know how fun that fight's going to be. And especially for the Manchester fans, it's going to be like 6 or 7 in the morning to end the festivities with a fight that I don't think is going to be all that fun. I think it's competitive, but I don't think it's going to be a thrilling fight. It's tough. What kind of driver you got? I got a Callaway, man. I got a Callaway. Thoughts on the leaked UFC 303 card? I did not see that. Let me see if I can find something here. Hold on. Let me look at this real quick. Where are these rumors coming from? Social media, which are a couple of responses. Yeah, I don't really see anything here. Joe Pyfer's recent Instagram story revealed that Ian Garry will take on Colby Covington at UFC 303. I don't know, man. We'll see. But that's honestly all I see here. Back to Brie. I feel like I do like BK MMA a bit more than UFC. It's just a tad bit more grotesque, and I am afraid. Sure. I mean, BKFC is fun. I think Masvidal's bare knuckle promotion is super compelling. I really like it. I think they could do something really big here. The problem is, and I've talked about this before, because you were talking about BK MMA, the game bread stuff, they need to go full ECW. They cannot, you cannot compete with the UFC. You cannot try to book these big ass arenas. Like, you can't. You got to go to these like 2,000 seat venues and just get the ravenous loud, obnoxious fucking people in there to just scream and hoot and holler. Like, it should be the sort of anti-promotion. And I know they try to portray themselves as that, but when they do it in commentary, and it's just, it's a little tough to listen to. Like, you need to be the anti-promotion without telling the world that you are that. You just need to show that you are. They need to go full ECW. And I think if they do, I think they could be really big. I think they could be really big. But them going to ViStar and them going to the big arena in Orlando, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to me. But I do like what they're trying to do. I think it's a good concept. They're really the only ones kind of doing it, especially in the United States. But it's just, they're trying to get too big. I don't know how they're even pulling. I don't know.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prof G Podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely, or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prof G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Mr. Heck, who's your favorite Massachusetts-born, bred mixed martial artist? Jesus Christ. I don't know. That's tough to answer. I mean, Joe Lozon, probably. Like, if I'm going back to Fan Mike, it's probably Joe. It's probably Joe. I mean, I knew about the stories of him and his brother, like, just beating the shit out of each other in their front yards at family parties. Those legends spread throughout. According to Leon's coaches, they 0.01% chance the fight won't happen. It's probably going to be the fight. Because at the end of the day, the UFC just wants to sell out that building. That's more important than a million pay-per-view buys. But I think they'll stack this card properly with enough names and enough other star power to make it compelling. But yeah, Bilal's probably going to get it. If only one can win it all this summer, Bruins or Celtics? I mean, my heart is more with the Bruins. I'll say the Celtics, though. I just want them to shut people up. Mike, if this is the UFC 302 main card, Islam versus Dustin, Costa versus Sean, Fluffy Dolidze, Romanoff Almeida, Van versus Tyro, what's your favorite fight outside of the main and co-main? It's probably Van versus Tyro. Romanoff Almeida has the potential to be just a hilariously bad fight if it gets out of the first round. And I think Fluffy Hernandez, man, I think this is a really good matchup for him. But Van versus Tyra is going to be an absolute war, so I'll go with that. Trindaddy, I spent a small fortune on UFC 303 tickets. Should I be concerned that they don't pump this card up, or should I anticipate a video from Dana on another silly victory lap about how awesome it was? God, just go back into time for the most part. When you look at Conor McGregor cards, when Conor's in the main event, usually the card, the rest of it behind is not very good. It's usually not that great because they don't need it. It doesn't need to be. Conor's the draw. He's the one bringing in all the eyeballs and the tickets. Chandler's going to do his best to try to pump it up. You are getting Jamal Hill versus Khalil Roundtree, which is a super interesting fight. But they're not going to, I don't think they're going to, this is not going to be 300. This is not going to be 299. I don't even think card quality top to bottom is going to be as good as 298. But none of that matters when you get the return of the biggest star in the history of the sport. So I think it's going to be fun. I think the festivities will be great. It is International Fight Week, so there's going to be all this shit going on. And I highly recommend any fan, if you have not done it, you should probably check out International Fight Week and go to as many things as you can. But like every fighter on the roster is going to be there. So they may not be competing in the octagon, but at least you'll have the chance to be able to do some different things. There's going to be like live shows and all sorts of fun stuff. So I think the week's going to be fun as hell. I really do. I need the UFC back in Cleveland next year. Run up the numbers this year and next. I mean, the fact they haven't been back since the Stipe card is wild to me. Crazy Bilal thinks he gets to tell everyone when he's done enough for a title. He has done enough. He has done enough. In a true meritocratic world, Bilal Muhammad should have gotten a title shot like a year ago. He probably shouldn't even have had to fight Gilbert Burns. If we're telling the truth here, but this isn't that. If this is PFL or Bellator, Bilal would have gotten his title shot probably in like 2022, 2023 maybe. After the Sean Brady win, he probably would have gotten it. But this is not that. This is a whole different world. This is about getting asses in seats and getting people to push okay, to spend $80 on a pay-per-view. And Bilal ain't that guy. He's a great guy, nice, he's funny. Good presence on social media, good personality, but for some reason it just hasn't clicked with the overall fan base outside of fans just not wanting to see Bilal get a title shot, which is wild. Because what has Bilal truly done wrong? I mean, honestly, like what has he truly done wrong? He does good things. He's not a dickhead. He's not out getting in trouble. He's nice. He's got a funny sense of humor. He wins fights. Yes, I understand that some of his fights are not all that compelling, but he beat the brakes off of Sean Brady. That was so impressive. And I know the Gilbert Burns fight wasn't the greatest fight of all time either, but that fight should have never happened on that card anyways. So I will give a little bit of leeway, but to see a guy who really hasn't done a whole hell of a lot wrong, to see everyone just sort of turn on him, he's almost like this generation's Daniel Cormier. Because like DC never really did, I mean, DC's always done the right thing and the nice guy, and everyone just sort of turned on him. But it's different circumstances, but yeah, Bilal deserves a freaking title shot. Ken Flo. Yeah, dude, Kenny Florian's great too. What else we got? Back to Breeze. Masvidal Diaz fight coming up this upcoming UFC 302. No, they're having a boxing match. June 1st. Probably the worst date they could have it. Outside of doing it July 20th or June 29th. But they're doing it June 1st. I still don't understand why. It's going to be a tough night for him. I'm going to be really interested to see how their ticket sales go. I don't think that pay-per-view is going to do well at all. But maybe we'll do a double watch party June 1st. We'll do the UFC one, but then when that Masvidal Diaz fight comes on, maybe we'll just do that on the watch party, we'll tell you. In keeping with mass-themed questions, what Boston sports hero would have made the best hypothetical transition into MMA? David Ortiz. Easy. Easy. He would have been a superstar. And he... Pedro Martinez would have been really good too, because he's just kind of an asshole, and you either love Pedro or you hate him. Brad Marchand would be another one. Seeing on Tapology, Tim Elliott with Drew against Tyra, Josh Van is even better fight. It's a great fight. Personally, just for Tyra's development, I would have liked to have seen the Elliott fight, because Elliott's a ranked dude. I think he's top 10 or just outside of it. It's Tim, and Tim's a tough out. He's a really tough out. Not saying Josh isn't, but the style Elliott brings to the table, that veteran savvy. I mean, he gave Makhachev problems. I mean, If Makhachev didn't finish him in the third round, Tim Elliott would have beat him in that fight. So I thought that was the perfect matchmaking, but this is just a super fun fight. Trindade, fourth row in the upper deck, $1,500 each. Damn. Good Lord. That's a lot of money. Tyra wins against Josh Van, assuming he moves up the ranks further. At what point did the UFC start acknowledging that they got to return back at Japan in order to do a fight night card there? I mean, I think that doesn't hurt. You need to get a headliner in there, though, like a really good headliner. Maybe he gets there. Last fight I went to was UFC 274. Spent $500 for a front row seat in the lower bowl. Yeah, it's come full circle with all that. John Jones is training again. Training for who? No one wants to see him. I don't know if that's again. He's going to fight Stipe, guys. He's going to fight Stipe Miocic. That's the fight. Pitar, who do you think are the three most authentic and three least authentic UFC fighters, and why Chandler? What do you mean? What do you mean with Chandler? Is he authentic? Do you think he's authentic or not authentic? I don't understand. Jesus, three most authentic? This is a tough question. I'm going to have to think about this one. Because you have to define it too. Like, are we talking about how they're portrayed on camera, press conferences, etc.? Or are we talking about like sort of like over the year relationship building and just talking to some of these guys and gals? I think Chandler probably is more in the authentic than less authentic side, honestly. He's just kind of sort of one of those dudes. I don't know. I got to think about this one. Least authentic. I mean, I like Colby. I've had a long-standing relationship with Colby. I haven't talked to him in a while, but just because of the character, the gimmick, if you will, that's not really him. And I think people know that at this point. But fight week, he turns it on to a 9. Interviews, he turns it on to a 5,000. So I think just because of that, you sort of have to put him in there. I think Bilal is like pretty authentic. I mean, just like people are giving him a whole bunch of shit for that tweet because someone asked him how he thinks the fight with Leon would play out, and he said he was gonna win by decision. And I think people got a lot out of that. Stipe's pretty authentic guy, a man of few words, but very authentic, hard worker, firefighter. DC, obviously very authentic. His takes lately have been so fucking bad, though. Like, I think we need to get him on BTL and just be like, come on, man. What are you talking about? Calvin Kattar is very authentic. All the New England guys are very authentic because they don't talk shit. Like, they don't talk shit at all. And I guess, like, to some degree, I mean, like him or not, Sean Strickland is, that man is who he is. I love all these, like, MMA, Boston Athletes MMA. No Nomar? No, I think Nomar is a legend, but I mean, you saw the moment when like Derek Jeter made that jumping catch into the crowd and like busted his face open. And you see Nomar just kind of sulking in the dugout because he wasn't playing. And then his ass got dealt like a week later. And then the Red Sox won the World Series. So all good. Pedro would be a good one. You reckon Rashad Rondo would have made a great MMA fighter for a couple of years? Robert Parrish, yeah, good one. Marvin Hagler. Mickey Ward would have been fun doing MMA. All right, now we're getting the authentic. Tom Aspinall, Poetan Max, Matt Brown, love it. Love this. All right, you guys are helping me out. I suck with some of these questions on the spot. Chandler Sweetheart. Chandler's that made John Cena just does and says the right things at all times to drive people nuts. Chandler's like always been like that though. Always. Like it's turned up to a different level now, but Chandler's always been sort of that same guy that has is always a sharp, always with it, always has something to say, always has says the right things, always has like a good quote in mind. Like he's always been like that. Always been like that. I'll tell you a cool little Michael Chandler story. So I covered the Vitor Belfort, Evander Holyfield, Triller boxing shit show that got moved from California to Florida. And it was that event where like Trump did color commentary. It was so bizarre. And Evander Holyfield probably shouldn't have been fighting anybody. But I saw Michael Chandler there and I asked him, I shoot him a text. I'm like, look, I'm here. I was like, do you mind if like I just come up and we'll do like a quick cell phone interview just for like our social media. It was not long after the fight with Justin Gaethje was announced. I think it was maybe like a week after that. So I was like, 2 minutes. That's all I need. I promise you it's only going to be 2 minutes. So I like sleuthed around and like me and Chandler did the thing. And then we were done. And I go and sit down, and then I'm not going to mention his name, but another media member kind of lurked behind us. And when we were done, just kind of like swooped in and tapped Chandler on the shoulder and like asked him to do an interview. And Chandler obviously is the kind of guy that feels bad if he says no. So Chandler does the interview and he texts me and he's kind of pissed about it. And I felt so bad. And I was like, dude, you know, I wasn't trying to do that. Like I was trying to be all Ace Ventura, trying to find Snowflake at that dude's mansion, just trying to, you know, Mission Impossible theme in the background, just trying to sleuth right in. But someone just kind of like stalked right behind and got a Chandler conversation. And he was like, not happy with me. And I just apologized profusely. He's like, all good, man. And then we're fine. Like 2 seconds later, like he's a good dude. He really is.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What else we got here? UFC announced a couple road shows, but they're pretty bad. Are we going to get Apex level fight cards on the road more often now? Okay. I'm glad you brought this up. You want to talk victory laps? Here's a victory lap for you. I told people after, because we knew they were good. UFC was going to St. Louis, right? We knew they were going to St. Louis. The day before one of the events, I think it was the day of UFC Atlantic City. They announced that the main event for UFC St. Louis is Derek Lewis versus Rodrigo Nascimento. Now, this is a market that historically has a rich history in combat sports. That, like every pro wrestling company, most boxing companies or promotions will try to go to St. Louis. At least it has been like that over the years. UFC hasn't been there in a hot minute. And they come back with Derek Lewis versus Rodrigo Nascimento. Now, I'm not here to get mad at Derek Lewis because Derek Lewis is the dude. And Derek Lewis doesn't say no to fights. As long as the paycheck is where it needs to be, he will fight whoever you tell him to fight. And there's a 98% chance Derek Lewis has no idea who he's fighting. And probably won't know after he fights him because Derek doesn't watch MMA. He just, oh yeah, I'm in the main event. You want me to fight whoever? I don't give a shit. Fine. But this is it's such a trash main event. Like this is an Apex main event if there ever was one. So my whole thing was like, when I first saw this and first reacted to it on the People's Pre-Fight Show for UFC AC, I was like, don't even buy tickets. Like send the message to the UFC that we will not accept this. This is unacceptable. We deserve better. And if you want us to shell out hundreds and hundreds of dollars, like, give us better than this. Derek Lewis is a main eventer, sure, for a fight night. But Rodrigo Nascimento, like, I'm not saying he's a bad fighter, but he's not a main eventer yet. I'm not saying he can't get there, but right now, he's not. He is not. And Derek Lewis coming off a pretty lopsided loss. He's lost a lot of fights recently. We still love him because he says funny shit and his balls are hot. But, I mean, you just deserve better. You just deserve better than this. But then on the flip side, do I want this to sell out because this is the UFC's way of testing out the market by saying, hey, if these fucking people will buy tickets to this card headlined by this fight, then they'll buy tickets for absolutely anything. So I'm torn on this one. And if we get Jared Cannonier versus Nasruddin Imavov in Louisville, what? What are we talking about here? I thought Louisville Lopez was a better idea. You throw Diego Lopez versus like Josh Emmett in that main event. Like, that's a way better main event. Like, Cannonier is good. Nasruddin Imavov is good. But like that is an apex fight. That is an apex main event. Just look at all these apex main events. Half of them are in the middleweight division, like mid-range middleweights. And now, like, this potentially could be the main event for Louisville? Like, what are we doing here? Do I think we're going to, like, leave the apex? I kind of felt like St. Louis was the tester. But honestly, like, seeing Joaquin Buckley on this card tells me that their ticket sales are not good. And when we were doing BTL yesterday, I went and looked at the map, and I'll pull it up again. It was one of the worst maps I had seen in terms of ticket sales. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. There were a lot of tickets left. Let me take a gander now. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's like almost full sections available for this card. I mean, they're doing okay. Considering what this main event is, like, it's doing better than it probably should. But, I mean, they have thousands of tickets still available. Thousands of them. Like, usually if a section is sold out, it's gray. If it's almost sold out, it's light blue. And if it's far from selling out, it's dark blue in the maps. There's a lot of dark blue on this map. So, look, they're on fire right now, and they can do this. And they know, especially if they haven't been to a market in a while, they could just throw shit at the wall, and people will buy it. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. And again, it doesn't matter because they have this ESPN deal and they're getting a shitload of money just to put a card on there. What else we got? UFC 303 presale cold, UFC social. Cheapest tickets, $2,500. Damn. I mean, that's going to be an experience. I always tell people, go to one big event and just check it out. And I think that's all you need. It's better watching it at home. There are certain sports that are better watching live. I think baseball is better watching live. I think hockey's the best live sporting experience you can get. Just going to Bruins. Like, if I had the choice to go to any game, it'd be a Bruins game. 100%. Without question. Football, I think, is better on TV. But still a cool experience if you can get the whole day out of it and do the tailgate and the food and the parking lot and, like, hang out with your fellow fans and just, like, make a whole day out of it. It's awesome, just that part of it. But from the viewership experience, football just kind of drags a little bit because it's not like you get to watch commercials in the stadium. You just see the guys on the field and they just kind of stand around for 5 minutes while we wait for the commercials to end. So, and I think MMA is just one of those sports that I think once you see it once, you go to a big card, you get to experience the intensity and, like, the vibes from it. And then you're just like, all right, cool. Done it. We're good. Louisville Lopez, fantastic name. Battle of the Mediocre Middleweights. Any fight on UFC 300 is better than any fight this weekend. I wish they saved this one for tomorrow. This is the go home. Look, this is the sandwich show. This is the meat. You get 300, 301, and smack dab in the middle is UFC Vegas 91. There's just not every card is going to be 298, 299, 300. It just isn't. 297 was trash. It was not a good card. We got a good main event. Jurkic Duplessis, Sean Strickland. We had some decent moments, but I think every fight, maybe there's a, I think there's a late finish on that card, but that was the longest. Outside of 300 where we watched every single fight and did the watch party, 297 was by far the longest watch party we'd ever done. It felt like we were watching fights till 3 a.m. It just went forever. And the card on paper was not good. So, but 302 is pretty damn good. 303 is going to be good. 304, I think, is going to be good. And then we'll see what the rest of the year looks like. But there's going to be some pretty bad. There's always like one or two pretty awful pay-per-views every single year. Dominic Cruz, most authentic fighter of all time. Tremendous, tremendous name drop. Is Jailton Almeida going to move to light heavyweight, and what are his chances there? Super good. Super good. He's going to be a problem. That division is not great. Outside of the top six or seven fighters, it's not great. So I think he'd do really well, but I actually think he's going to stick around at heavyweight at this point because did you see what that man looked like before the Curtis Blaydes fight? He got yoked up pretty proper. He looked like a heavyweight. His previous heavyweight fights, even with the Derek Lewis fight, he looked like a light heavyweight who didn't cut weight. Before the Blaydes fight, he looked like a heavyweight. So it's going to be tough for him to cut down. But I still think Jailton Almeida could be a top five heavyweight for a long time. Again, not a lot of depth in that division. What else we got? Iron Lady, very authentic. Jermaine, yeah. What else we got? Talk about Oscar. Who the fuck? It's 3 a.m. Poor dear Mike. Try living across the pond getting 60. Yeah, you guys love fucking throwing that shit in my face. But you deserve better. I'm trying to fight for you guys. Like, you guys should be watching UFC 304 in Manchester, like, at the same time East Coasters are watching fights. Not at 3 a.m. or 7 a.m. Come on. You deserve better than that. But we're all used to our time zones, right? Like, just kind of how it is. I don't know what that sound just was. I haven't been able to watch a lot of PFL this year. Has the pacing been better? Yes, slightly. Slightly. But still not great. Who's your choice for the hottest prospect outside of the UFC right now, excluding established talents from other orgs? I mean, it was definitely Paul Hughes until he got signed. That's a good question. There's a lot of good ones. I have to pull up my little doc here. Where are you? Yeah, I have to think about it. Austin Bashi is a really good one. I don't know if he signed anywhere. He's really good. There's others. I gotta find my little doc. There's one that I've been super high on for a long time. His name is Isaac Moreno. He fights for, I just thought of another one too. Isaac Moreno is usually fights for like Fury FC and stuff. And he was fighting for them like super early on. Big karate guy, but he's transitioned in MMA and like really got the ball rolling. Let me see where he's at right now. He hasn't fought in a minute. He has not fought. I think it's been like over a year since he's fought. Yeah. 6-0 pro. Bunch of finishes. He's fought pretty good dudes. He hasn't fought since March of last year. Got a first round knockout. He's a guy to watch. I was super impressed with him as an amateur. He's 26. He's on his way up. He's really good. I'll throw Gianni Vasquez in that conversation as well. He's the up next fighting bantamweight champ or flyweight champion. He's the dude that was on the wrong end of that awful refereeing with the fight. I did a whole feature on it with Edgar Chirez, where Johnny got put in a submission and was put to sleep, and the referee didn't stop the fight, even though everyone was screaming at him to stop the fight. And then Edgar Chirez put him in an arm bar, which woke him up so he could tap as his arm is like falling off of his body. And he still hasn't recovered from that. And dude's still going out there and winning fights. He should absolutely get a UFC opportunity. I don't really, truly don't know what else he needs to do. Really don't. Viking, what are your thoughts on DDP's statement about Yuri should move to middleweight? Yuri's talked about moving to middleweight. Boy, would that be wild. I mean, sure. If he could do it and do it safely, I mean, is anyone going to be mad at DDP versus Yuri Prochazka? Is anyone going to be mad about Yuri versus Izzy? Yuri versus Khamzat? Yuri versus Whitaker? Like, I don't think anyone's going to be mad about any of those fights. Mike, did Jed rage over the Falcons draft pick? We had a good time in the Slack channel once that happened. We blamed Mark Raimondi for that. Really, truly one of the worst draft picks I've ever seen. Jesus, Viking. Spamming away. Oh, great call. Great call. Fatima Klein that's a great one. Yeah, she's going to be in the UFC very, very soon. Very, very soon. All right, we got like 5 minutes, so rapid fire. I actually have to go to a meeting, so we actually truly only have like 3 minutes. Jacoby Smith. You guys should be more critical of the UFC cards. I don't know if that's sarcasm. I think we're pretty damn fair when it comes to the UFC. But I don't know if that's sarcasm or not. Like, we're here to tell you, if a card's great, it's great. If it sucks, it sucks. And there's been a lot of not good Apex cards. Just a lot of not good cards all year. But again, no one's nipping at their heels and no one can slow them down. Why are UFC cards generally so late when the paying demographic is older? Because they've had the same process for a while and it continues to work. Now they are getting somewhat better with the fight night cards. I think every one of these Apex cards, the main card should start at 4 p.m. Eastern. There's no need ever for a 10 p.m. main card at the UFC Apex. Ever. And I think a lot of these fight night cards, unless it's a massive name or they're airing it exclusively on ESPN, those should not be starting main cards past 7 p.m. Eastern. But pay-per-views being at 10, it's fine.
All right. Rapid fire. Keys to victory for Hill and Roundtree. Hill just needs to not get hit. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Hill needs to wrestle. Not that Roundtree's a slouch on the ground, but I mean, Hill can hit really hard too. It's a really interesting fight. It's a really interesting fight. Anyone know if Invicta's done? They haven't had an event in a long time. I don't think so. Does Roundtree fight for the belt if he beats Hill? I hope so. I hope so. Dude, Khalil Roundtree versus Alex Pereira is awesome. Just wanted to add, and I thought you won the draft. Jerkus is the only pick that threw me off. Why? Jerkus would fit in perfectly for BKFC. No sarcasm, quality of recent UFC card sucks. And we have told you as such. If a card is awful, we have told you that. We're going to do a preview show 1 p.m. Eastern today about this card and the BKFC card. I can assure you we're going to be spending five more times on the BKFC card than the UFC card. All right, final minute. Alex versus Cyril, winner fights, winner of Aspinall Blades. Don't hate it. Ursae gets a title fight, you never know. And you know what? He might actually win that fight. Let's see. Last one. Last two. Would an Izzy Hamzat headline or super fight card be the basis in December? I mean, how? If it's not for the belt, then what's the point? In Danger Mouse, should Tom or Leon be the main event for UFC Manchester? It should be Leon Edwards, because he's the undisputed champion. I know Tom Aspinall is in the bigger weight class. I think he's getting more and more popular, but I think you got to put Leon in that spot. I think he's earned it. All right, we're done. Danger, shout out. Shout out to all of you guys. And hopefully we do this again. So moving forward, this program, we're not going to do 3 days a week anymore. We're just going to do Tuesday, Fridays. BTL day will be the BTL day. The only time that changes is if BTL moves to a Tuesday, then we'll do Thursday, Friday in the show. I'll let you all know no matter what anyways. We will have a preview show coming up, like I said, 1 p.m. Eastern to get you ready for Vegas 91, Knucklemania 4, et cetera, et cetera. So not the last you will see of me here on this channel. Thank you all very much. Much love. Have a great rest of your day. Have a heck of a morning, everybody. We'll see you later on.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast-closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.